Would you please turn in your Bibles, well, to John chapter 3, verse 35. We'll be spending most of our time in the Gospel of John, but looking around a little bit from here to there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for being the perfect Father. Lord, help us to see some things in you that we as earthly fathers can emulate. Try to be a little bit like you. And in the process, glorify you. Help us in this study that we may see the application of these things to our lives in a very practical way. And I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. On Mother's Day, for a mother's love, we examined the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. On Children's Day, for a child's love, we observe the actions of young Samuel. And so I was contemplating what would be the perfect example of a father's love. It was one of those duh moments, you know, God the Father. And in particular, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. At least five times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that the Father loves him. Here in John chapter 3 and verse 35, the Father, Jesus is speaking, and he says, the Father loveth the Son. Very simple statement. John chapter 5 and verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. John chapter 10 and verse 17. John chapter 10 verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. John chapter 15 and verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And John chapter 17, verse 24. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. I want to use these statements as examples to us earthly fathers of some things that we should do to love our children. Understand that God the Father and God the Son are perfect. In making these applications to us, I do not want to imply any imperfections in God the Father and God the Son. If there are any perfections, they would be in us and not in them. But I want to use these statements to make some applications to how we as earthly fathers might love our sons and daughters as God the Father loved the Son. Beginning in John chapter 3, verse 35, the first verse that we looked at, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. And the first thing we see in God the Father's love for the Son is that he gives the Son things. He hath given all things into his hands. What are some of the things that God the Father gave to the Son? Well, in John chapter 5 and verse 22, John chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. In other words, God the Father has given the Son responsibilities. You know, when we think of giving things to our children, we might think of things, material things, tangible things. But God the Father gave judgment unto the Son. Judgment, what is a judgment? Judgment is a decision given concerning anything. The Father gave to the Son the responsibility of making decisions, of making judgments. Giving our children responsibilities is a good thing. Do you remember when Samuel was told to anoint the next king of Israel? And he went to Jesse, and he went through seven of Jesse's sons. And none of them were the right one. And he says to Jesse, "Do you have any more sons?" "Oh, yes, the youngest one." And what was he doing? He was keeping the sheep. The youngest one was out fulfilling a responsibility, keeping the sheep. What does a responsibility do for a son or a daughter? Why, it builds character. Would you look in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 16? We'll keep going back to the Gospel of John. But a couple of these references to make application, we'll be turning to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 16 says, the labor, is labor responsibility? Sure. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Someone who learns to work and handle responsibility enjoys a quality of life that others do not. That's the value of giving our children responsibilities. Over in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, the word fat simply means to be made prosperous. And the word diligent refers to someone who conducts himself responsibly and does not remain idle. He stands in contrast to the sluggard who is idle. The diligent is the one who handles responsibility, conducts himself responsibly, does what needs to be done. And it is, notice in this verse of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, it is the soul, not the belly, that will prosper. Of course, the belly will prosper if you work and earn and provide. But it's the soul, it's the inner man. You will grow inwardly. You will develop character if you are a person who has fulfilled responsibilities that were given to you. Fathers, we need to teach our children to balance playtime with responsibility. And I understand children need playtime, but children also need to have responsibilities, to understand the balance between those two things, and as they grow older, to diminish the playtime and increase the responsibility. God the Father gave the Son responsibility, an excellent example for us. But God the Father gave the Son something else in John chapter 12 and verse 49. John chapter 12 and verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. In this case, we're seeing a very specific order that God the Father gave to the Son. A very specific order to say a very specific thing. What is the value of an earthly father giving his children specific commandments? Do this. Do that. What is the likelihood that at some point in your children's lives, they will get a job? What is the boss going to do on that job? He's going to give your children responsibilities, and in those responsibilities, he's going to give them specific orders. Do this and do that. Where is a good place to be prepared for that? You know, I hear from different ones that young people have a hard time when they get a job fulfilling the responsibilities on the job. They have a hard time because they've been playing all their lives and not taught responsibility. But if we teach responsibility in the home, those young people get a job, they'll do just fine. And then there is this, John chapter 18 and verse 11. John chapter 18 and verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What was the cup that the Father had given the Son? Jesus referred to that cup in Luke chapter 22. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane the evening before he was about to be crucified. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 39, Luke chapter 22 and verse 39, and he came out, that is Jesus, and went, and he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter in not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. What was the cup? It was all the suffering that he would have to endure the very next day by bearing all of our sins in his body on the cross. This was a hard thing to face. In verse 44 here in Luke chapter 22, it says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus said, this is the cup that my Father gave to me. God the Father gave to the Son something very hard to do. Not all of the responsibilities of life are simple and easy. Some are hard and challenging. And sometimes we may need to give to our children difficult things to do. I was in the sixth grade, and at recess, all the boys played football. There were a lot of strange students to me because they had combined. It just happened when I went into sixth grade, they combined two schools together. And so there were students from the other school that I had not grown up with in school and didn't know them. And for some reason, there was this one particular boy who took a disliking to me. And in this football game, every day at recess, as soon as the ball was hiked, he ran right towards me and knocked me down. Every play. Didn't matter what the play was. The ball's hiked, he ran right at me, knocked me down. So I went home, I told my father about it. And he gave me a very hard responsibility. He said, stand up to him. But he knocks me down. He said, you're a big boy. And I was a big boy. I was always a big boy. He said, stand up to him. He ordered me to do the hard thing. What would be the easy thing? Just don't play football. Do something else at recess. But that's not what he advised me. He gave me an order, stand up to him. Sometimes the responsibilities we need to give to our children are hard things, but it will build character in them. Would you go to John chapter 10 and verse 17? John chapter 10 and verse 17. This is connected to the point where the Father gave the Son a cup. But here we see that God the Father loved the Son because of what the Son was willing to do. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, he says in verse 18, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The commandment to lay down my life. And I have chosen to do what my Father commanded. Remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any way to take this cup from me, take it from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he did what the Father commanded him to do. And the Father loved him because he was willing to do the hard thing. I trust my Father loved me when I was in the sixth grade. I did what he told me to do. The next day at recess, when the ball was hiked, I planted my feet. I braced my arms. I stood as firm as I could. And this boy ran right at me. And he bounced off of me and fell down. And it was the last time he ever ran at me. I didn't want to do it. But my Father told me to do it. So I did it. And I trust my Father loved me because of it. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, because the Son did what his Father commanded. The hard thing, he did the hard thing. God was satisfied. God the Father was satisfied with the Son. And according to John chapter 10, he loved him for it. When we give some hard things to our children to do, and we see them build that strength of character to do the hard things in life. Our love will grow for our children. John chapter 5 and verse 20. John chapter 5 and verse 20. For the Father loved the Son by showing all things that he does. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Jesus elaborated on this. Begin in verse 17 of the chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 17. But Jesus answered and said unto them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now verse 18, the Jews didn't like what he was saying, but Jesus continued in verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. We see here an intimate interaction between two members of the Godhead, the Father and the Son. And Jesus is telling us that there is no contradiction within the Godhead. The Son is not independent of the Father. Both do the same thing. But even within the Godhead, there is distinction of roles. God the Father is called the Father for a reason. God the Son is called the Son for a reason. The Father sets the agenda within the Godhead. The Son does not act independently or in contradiction of the agenda set by the Father. The Father sets the agenda. The Son conforms to that agenda perfectly. Jesus gave this example in John chapter 5 and verse 21. He said, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Father and Son act in perfect harmony. So Jesus continued with this over in chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8. And verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We learn from this that fathers love their children by teaching them things. Fathers love their children by letting them know they don't have to fend for themselves in life. The children are not alone because their fathers are right there guiding them. If fathers want children who always do things that please them, they must first be personally involved in their lives. Fathers must be personally involved in their children's lives so they learn what they need to know and so that they can be confident that their father has their back. The Son of God was absolutely confident that God the Father was right there with them. God the Father set the agenda. The Son perfectly conformed to that, and God the Father was with him at all times, in all things. Then in John chapter 15 and verse 9, John chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." I have a question for you, fathers. How would your children fill in these blanks? If one of your children or any one of your children would have to fill in these blanks, how would they do it? As my father blank, so have I blank. What is the example we set for our children? If our children would have to fill in the blanks, as my father blank, so have I blank, could they say, as my father loved me, so I love others? What an example that would be. And then finally, John chapter 17 and verse 24. John chapter 17 and verse 24, where Jesus said at the end of the verse, at the end of verse 24, "For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You know, God the Father always loved the Son. What's he telling us? He told us in John, other places, how he loves him now and all of these things that he's going through on the earth. He gives him commandments, what to say, gives him a cup, a hard thing to do, all of these different things. And then he says, he loved me before the foundation of the world. He's saying there has never been a moment in all of eternity that my father doesn't love me. Did God the Father love the Son when Jesus was on the cross bearing all of our sins? Absolutely. Now, was there a moment that was very hard for God the Father? Remember when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But does that mean the Father ever stopped loving the Son? No. Let me maybe stretch the point a little bit to make the application to us. Jesus, remember, Jesus was perfect. He didn't suffer for any of his own sins. He suffered for our sins. But are there some times that our children are harder to love than others? How about Absalom? Was he a good boy? Anybody remember about Absalom? He did a lot of bad things. He even stole the kingdom away from his father. That was not exactly really nice, was it? And yet, when Absalom died, what was David's reaction? It tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1, that the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. One of the things I always tell folks at funerals is it's okay to mourn, because mourning is an expression of love. If you are not mourning for the one who has just passed, I don't think you love them very much. I mean, if you don't miss them, if it means nothing to you that they've gone, there's not much love there. But if you mourn, that's an expression of love. In fact, in verse 6, Joab connects, in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 6, Joab connects David's love for Absalom with his mourning for his son. Even though Absalom was a bad boy, David loved him anyway. Does God love us when we do bad things? How about Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. For ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know how when you spanked your children, you would say to them, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? And they might not get that. But you love them. You have to chasten them because you love them. It pains you to do it. But you love them and you want them to be better. And just because they've done something bad doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. You always love them, no matter what. Fathers, here's how we love our children. We give them things that teach them how to handle responsibility. We love them and are proud of them when they succeed in life and doing the hard things. We teach them things and then stand by them through thick and thin. We set an example for our children to follow. And we never stop loving them, no matter what. How are we doing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your perfect example. Thank you for telling us how you love your Son, your only begotten Son, your eternal Son. Thank you for your perfect example for us to follow. We know that we can never be perfectly like you, but help us to strive to do things like you do in loving our children. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.